Yes, Father, we thank you for all your promises, all the things that you have given us, and all the things you've made available to us. Lord, we thank you for your word and everything in it. Lord, thank you that you have spoken these things so that we may have life. And God, this morning we want to receive everything that you've come to give. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be hungry and thirsty to see every promise come true, that we will not settle for anything less, but the fullness of what Christ has come for. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to share about one of those promises, and actually it relates to all the promises that God has made, all the promises that God has given through His Word. And I want us to, just with an open heart, receive what God promises through His Word. And it's so amazing if you read the Word of God. I love the Bible. I love what God has revealed of Himself to us. And there's just so much life in it, but there's so much promises of life contained within it. And this morning, I want us to look at this invitation that God gives each and every one of us to come to Him who is the source of life. And one of these great promises is found in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I have come to give life and that you may have it more abundantly." In other words, I've not just come to give you life as you know it. I've come to give you life far greater than what you know. Abundantly, overflowing, that cannot be measured, that cannot be contained. Jesus makes an invitation in John chapter 7, verse 37. "On that day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" It's so powerful. He says, "Come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give him to drink, as the scriptures declares. Living waters will flow up from within them." And this thirst that Jesus is speaking about, it's not a natural thirst. It's not, you know, you haven't had water for 4 hours and you're thirsty. He's speaking about something else. He's speaking about thirst for life. Thirst for life. A life that is full, a life that is exciting, a life that is whole, a life that overflows. Jesus says, "If you're thirsty for life, come to me." And we have all been there. We've all been in the place where we are thirsty for life. We've all been in this place where we run dry in ourselves, where we desire life, where we become empty, where we become dry, where we become run down, whether it's stress or fear or pressure or failing or lack or loss. We've all come to a place where we desire life. Life that sustains, life that rejuvenates, life that produces fruit in us. We've all been there. And from time to time, we get to this place where we are run down. And Jesus says, "If you're thirsty, come to me." We've been there because we live in this broken, fallen world with all its pressures and its shortcomings, its sinfulness, its deceit. There is so much in this world that robs from us life. And we're constantly in this battle of receiving fresh life to continue in this world. This world that is driven by the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh to satisfy its self-centered sinful nature with stuff that doesn't really satisfy. You know, we see this in this world. The whole world is driven to fill itself, to satisfy its self-centeredness with stuff that cannot be satisfying, stuff that cannot fulfill, you know, whether it's fame or fortune, you know, all these things in the end is empty, and we run dry again. And we used to be part of that. We used to be trapped in this world in its self-centeredness, self-focusedness, this sinful world that is pursued and driven by the lust of the eye and the flesh and wants to satisfy itself with stuff that are temporal, that cannot really satisfy, and you find yourself in this vicious circle of being hungry and thirsty and constantly seeking and filling and never being satisfied. We used to be part of that, but God, through His Son, came to set us free from that. But yet we still face the same challenges, the pressures, the fears, the disappointments, the loss and the stress in this world. And we have been trained by this life to respond in a certain way when we face these challenges. You know, from an early age, well, from the day we were born into this fallen, broken world that is driven in a direction, and we have been trained by it. We have been consumed by it, we've been exposed by it, and we have been conditioned to respond to fear and stress in a certain way. This whole fear of lack and self-preservation is so entrenched in us, in our way we think, that drives us in a certain way, and we are desperately seeking to satisfy this fear of lack and self-preservation with stuff in the world that cannot really satisfy. And this eventually leads, inevitably leads us to run empty and thirsty. We fear lack and we fear death. And then we try to fill it with more stuff that cannot satisfy. And in the midst of this fallen reality that we live in, God speaks. And I love this. In the midst of the world that we find ourselves in with all its pressures and its consumerism and its self-preservation and you know, survival of the fittest, God speaks. In the midst of this fallen, broken mess that we find ourselves in, God speaks. And like light that shines into the darkness, God speaks. He says, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Like light that shines into the darkness, completely different to what we know in this fallen, self-centered world, God speaks. And the word brings, it creates life in darkness. And that's why I love, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is John chapter 1. And I'm going to read it again because it is just so powerful how God speaks into the midst of our chaos, in our brokenness, in the midst of this darkness. He speaks. We read here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love that. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. The Word of God, I mean, even the Word of God is so different to the world. It is so different. It is completely opposite to what we know and experience. And the Word of God became flesh. And it was not just spoken into the darkness, you know, so powerful, that image of creation when the world was void and darkness filled the earth and God said, let there be light. You know, God sent the Word that was with God and is God, and everything that was made through Him, because in Him is life, and everything that has life has been created through Him, shines into the darkness. And then this Word that was God, with God, everything that was made with Him, became flesh. The mystery of the incarnation, where the Word of God became flesh, Christ came and dwelled amongst us, in our world, in our darkness. How powerful is that? You know what? The Word of God and Christ cannot be separated. You cannot separate what God has spoken and Christ from each other. It's the same thing. They are connected to one another in a very powerful way. So when we talk about the Word of God, we're not just talking about the written Word. We're talking about the living Word. We're talking about Christ, the Word of God that became flesh. There's something powerful in the relationship with the Word of God, even that what we have. The written Word with Christ Himself. You cannot separate the two. You cannot follow Christ and ignore this. You cannot have this and ignore Christ. They are together. Just this week, I read Colossians 1, verse 26 to 27, and it speaks so powerful about this light that comes into the darkness that is completely different to this darkness, to this world, and it just brings forth its purpose, its life. It speaks here, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to the saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is so powerful. And as I was reading this, you know, this mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, this mystery that has been revealed to us, that is the Word of God, not only became flesh and lived amongst us, but it's the Word of God in us, Christ in us. How powerful is that? It is a mystery that has been revealed. And that is the purpose. We read of it. We read of it in the Word of God. I mean, the purpose of the Word of God has always been to reveal the mystery of God, the reality of God, that what cannot be understood in our human capacity and reason, the Word of God has come to make known God so that we can know God, so that we can have a relationship with Him. And how powerful is that? And I was thinking about this whole concept of a mystery being revealed and the difference between a mystery and a secret. You know, a secret is something that is hidden. It's knowledge that is hidden from others. And the moment you discover the secret, it's no longer a secret. It's like if I tell somebody, please don't tell anybody this, then it's no longer a secret. Especially, you know, amongst friends. A secret is just that. It is hidden knowledge that the moment it is discovered, it is no longer a secret. It's just knowledge. But a mystery is something different. You know, a secret is something that we can grasp with our own understanding and intellect. It's something that we can figure out. But a mystery is something far beyond our own understanding and intellect. It is something that we cannot reason to its conclusion. It is something that is beyond our understanding and intellect. A mystery is something that needs to be revealed by the divine to us. It's like this mystery of Christ in you. It's not something that you can figure it out with your own understanding and intellect. You need God to reveal this truth to you. That Christ lives in you. He lives in you. It's something beyond our understanding and capacity. But with that revelation, we add faith to it, and that leads to experience, which changes everything. That's the amazing thing about God. God is so much bigger than our capacity to understand, yet He reveals Himself to us so that we can know Him, so that we can have a relationship with Him. The very purpose of the Word of God is so that we can be restored into a relationship with that which we cannot always, with our capacity, understand. Yet, through revelation, through Christ coming to us, we can have a relationship with God. And this is so powerful, and I want to point to this one thing this morning, is that the very purpose of the Word of God is to reveal what we cannot understand about who God is. And that through faith in God's Word, that what is revealed becomes a reality. That reality doesn't come with human understanding and intellect. It comes through revelation and faith that becomes experience. It's like Christ in you. I see so many Christians, they believe and they are saved, but they don't understand Christ in them. So this morning, I trust that through God's Word, revelation will come. That you will add your faith to this revelation and that this will become experience. Because it will change your life forever. Your life will not be the same. That is the purpose of the Word of God. The Word of God speaks about a mystery that is revealed to us, that is Christ in us. Who of you believe that? Christ in you. And don't believe it because I say so. Believe it because God says so. It is God that says Christ is in you. So we believe because God says so. Not because man says so. Not because our intellect has gained enough facts that we understand it. No, it is through God's revelation and our faith in it that it becomes reality in us. Faith, and this faith is so important to understand, this faith is a relationship with the living God. This faith that we're talking about is not a blind faith. It's not just, okay, God says it, therefore it must be. No, this faith is a relationship with the living God. From revelation, it comes to experience that is in a relationship. This experience is not intellectual assent. I love it. I love it because it means a five-year-old can have a relationship with God and can experience the fullness and the power of God in her, in him. Because it's not through your mental capacity to grasp, but it is through revelation and faith in it that it becomes experience. So faith is a relationship. And you know what is so powerful? We know, and everything that we know about God, everything you know, everything that I know about God is what God has revealed to us. Nothing about God have we discovered in our own capacity. Everything about God, God has revealed to us. And God has revealed it to us right from the beginning. The very purpose of creation, one of the most powerful things we read in Romans of how God revealed himself to us is through the created word. The majesty around us, the heavens declares the glory of God. Creation sings his praises. When you look at the way God has created everything, it reveals something about God. So right from the beginning, through the created word, God revealed himself. Through the spoken word, God revealed himself. The written word that we have here, God revealed himself through the spoken word. And it's been recorded for us. It's a revelation of who God is. And then this revelation, it was through the word of God, the created word. Then the spoken word recorded for us. And then the word itself became flesh and lived amongst us. I mean, one of the most powerful revelations of who God is Christ himself. You know, when the disciples, when Jesus says, listen, I'm going back to my Father, but they responded to say, but Lord, we don't know where you're going, but just show us the Father. In John chapter 14, I don't have it there, but you can read it. It's so powerful. And Jesus said to Thomas, you know, what do you mean, show me the Father? Don't you know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Because I and the Father are one. And if you see me, Thomas, you see the Father. One of the greatest revelations of, but it's always been the Word. The created, the spoken, the incarnated Word. That's the powerful thing about the Word of God. It is there to reveal God. It shines into the darkness, into this reality that we know, this broken, fallen reality and all his sin and misgiving and shortcomings and lack and sickness and death. In the midst of all this, God speaks and says, this is who I am. This is life. That is not life. I am life. So God speaks. And when he does, our response should be faith in what he says. Not here. Because this is temporal. This is going to pass away. This building's, this stuff, it's all going to burn. So don't spend too much on it. It's going to burn, man. But God is going to remain, the life that he has, the life here, it's going to pass. So God speaks and he reveals himself through the word. He speaks into this broken world. Where we have been trained, we have been trained by the sinful, self-centered nature and in the ways of the world for so long. God speaks into this. And you must remember the purpose of the word. The purpose of the word is to reveal who God is, so that we can have a relationship with Him. So that we can have the life more abundantly. Not just life, but life more abundantly. And that's why the word shines into the darkness. That's why it shines into this, so that we can have it more abundantly. I mean, and there's so many things that God speaks into the darkness, and we've been trained by our experience and by the ways of this world and by our sinful nature for so long. Many of the things that God speaks does not make sense in this world. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, in Matthew chapter 6, I mean, Jesus speaks about the fact that you cannot serve two masters. Well, you know, that makes sense. But then He says you cannot serve both God and money. Now, in this world, that's very difficult. And then while we're still grasping and with what we experience and what we know, as opposed to what God says, while we're still struggling with, He says, therefore, because you can't serve God and money, therefore, do not worry about your life. And we think, but what do you mean? Do you not know the pressures and the realities of this world? God says, do not worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. Do not worry. And our response is, in our experience, listen here, God, there's bills to be paid. There's fashion that change. You know, there's new diets coming up. You know, and they always get more expensive. I mean, I don't know why, but they always get more expensive. And you say, we shouldn't worry. I mean, are you at all aware? And I love it because it's Jesus speaking, you know. It's not just God from this perfect reality speaking to the imperfect. It's like the perfect coming into the imperfect, experiencing it, and saying, you cannot serve two masters. Do not worry about your life. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things that you're after, it will be added to you anyway. And we struggle in this world to interpret that, to try and understand that from our experience, from our understanding. We try to take what God says and make sense of it. And because we've been trained and we've been experienced, and so many times God says something and we try it. We like try it once and it doesn't work. Or maybe we've tried it once, twice, three times and it just didn't happen. In our own understanding, we're trying to figure out, and therefore we think that because we tried it and it didn't work immediately, or we tried it twice or three times and it didn't materialize, therefore that what was spoken cannot be true. And unintentionally, we allow our experience and our understanding to be placed above God's word. Because this is what we experience. This is what we've been trained by for so long. And this comes in and it doesn't make sense in here. And we try it and it doesn't immediately work. And then we think, that must mean something else. Because not worrying in this world doesn't make sense. Not serving two masters. No. We need money. What do you mean seek first? You know, that doesn't make... And unintentionally, you know what we do? We place our experience here and our reality here above God's word. And then we don't understand why it doesn't work. But the very purpose of God's word is to bring life. And sometimes we don't worry about life. We try not to worry about it. Sometimes it's because, you know what, we hear something, but we don't pursue it by faith. In other words, we don't pursue the relationship. Remember, faith is a relationship with God. Jesus said, come to me if you're hungry and thirsty. He tells the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, man, and you think you have salvation in it, but I'm here with you. You miss me. And faith is not just faith in what is written. It's faith in the living word. It's faith in God. And you know what? What we do is we hear something and we try to apply. We try not to worry about life, what we'll eat and drink. But we haven't pursued God. We haven't pursued that relationship because in pursuing that relationship, revelation comes. And all of a sudden you read verse 24 because we've only read from verse 25. Do not worry about your life. And then all of a sudden you realize, but God is saying you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. But if you choose to serve me, therefore I tell you, don't worry about life. And sometimes we apply half a truth and it doesn't work. And we think, well, it cannot possibly mean that. And sometimes we try to apply it through our own understanding without the revelation that comes with this relationship with God that gives us this revelation. Sometimes God says, listen, if you pray for the sick, they will be healed. And then we pray and it doesn't work. And then in our own understanding and intellect, we try to figure it out. And then because it doesn't work in our understanding, instead of going back to the source of life and saying, God, help me, give me revelation because I do not understand it, we try to make it understandable. And because we do not understand it, we then turn around and say, that cannot possibly mean that. It must be something else. And what we do is unintentionally, this becomes far greater than the Word of God. And as Christians, we live mediocre lives. We miss what God has promised. Because we haven't come to that place where we actually put our faith in God above our circumstances. And we say, God, I don't understand this, but I'm gonna let my understanding just put on hold here for a moment, and I'm going to put my faith in you, and I'm going to go back to you, and I'm going to seek your face. And I want you to come and make it a reality in my life. Because you know what? We are so focused on our own ability and what we can do. We try to make it work in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own understanding, instead of just going to God. And say, God, you are the source of life. I put my faith and trust in you. I want to know this as a reality in my life. Teach me. Show me. And the amazing thing is the more you do that, the more you come to God, the more he reveals of himself to you. And the more he reveals himself to you, the more faith you can put in that relationship, in it, and the more you experience of this reality. And that's the amazing thing. That's why I love the Word of God. So I want to encourage you. The promises in the Word of God is true. Its purpose, it was spoken to reveal the truth to us in this world. And if you do not understand it, don't give up. Pursue it. Pursue God. Until this becomes a reality in your life. Until when Jesus says, this is the mystery that's been revealed to you. Christ in you. It's Christ living in you. The hope of glory, the same power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. It's true. You can read it. God spoke it. You're either going to believe it or you're going to reason it away. It's one of two things. You're either going to believe what God says or you're going to reason it away. But if you reason it away, that what God says will never be a reality in your life. It will never be a reality in your life. But if you humble yourself and you say, God, this is what you say. I do not understand. But I want to. Show me. It makes all the difference. You know, last week we spoke about, you know, so many of the unbelievers out there, they relate to God as the God of the mountain, and they're in the valley. That what God speaks is so far removed from their experience here in this fallen, broken world. But you know what I've discovered? There are many Christians that live here in the valley. What God speaks is so far removed from their reality that this reality becomes greater than God's reality. And we do one of two things. We either separate what God says onto the mountain or we change what God says to mean something else so that it can fit into this reality. But I want to challenge you. As Christians, let's not fall into the same trap as the world. God's word is either true or it's not. And you will find that when you believe in it, and you pursue it, becomes life. It becomes life. And all of a sudden, when Jesus says, all who are thirsty, come to me, it becomes a reality. And you see it in some Christians. You see it in some Christians. They face exactly the same stuff as we do and as you do, and yet they live completely differently. They go through the same stuff, but their responses are completely different because you know what? In the midst of this, they've discovered something. They've discovered something of God that is true. So I want to encourage you, pursue the Word of God. Pursue the promises. Pursue them through a relationship with God until they become a reality in your life. And your life will never be the same because that's the purpose of the Word of God. So God speaks into this world. And many times it is a mystery to us because in our own understanding, in our own experience, by what we have been trained by in this world, it doesn't make sense. And yet God speaks from His vantage point of eternity. So we hear the Word of God and we try to grasp it with our human understanding. We try, and because our experience does not relate immediately to what God says, we kind of unintentionally place our experience and our understanding above God's Word. And our valley becomes greater than God's mountain. Our experience and our understanding becomes greater than God's Word. And instead of pursuing the mystery of God, which is seeking Him in relationship through revelation, we seek human reason and understanding, and we either distance ourselves from what He has said or we try to change what He has said to mean something else. And the world, our understanding and experience becomes our teacher. This becomes our teacher of life. What we experience and what we know and what we understand, this becomes our teacher. But Jesus said you can only have one teacher. I am your teacher. Either I'm going to teach you about life or the world is going to teach you, but you can't have both. So my question this morning is, who's your teacher? Is it your experience? Is it your understanding, your intellect, what you experience, or is it God? It's going to make a major change in your life. You know, I stand here today not because I'm clever or well-educated. I just discovered something about God. And that's simply the Word of God. Simple faith. Faith until it works. Faith until it becomes a reality. Faith until what my understanding is replaced by revelation and experience. Then nobody can take it away from you. Christ in you cannot be taken away from you. You know, there's something powerful when you are dry and I get dry. I get faced by the same challenges. I face disappointments and lacks. But you know what? I have found a source of life. The only source of life. I found Him. And when I run down, you know, like that Samaritan woman that came to that well, remember? She came with a pot to a natural well because she was thirsty. But you know what? She wasn't really thirsty for water. Yes, that also. But Jesus looked right through that and she could see, you know what? This woman, she is thirsty for affirmation, love, and acceptance. As a matter of fact, you already have five husbands seeking for love, affirmation, and affection, and acceptance. But if you know who I am, you would ask me for the living water. And the water that I will give you will cause you never to thirst again. You know what is so powerful? That woman left a pot right there. And she went back to that town. And she told everybody. You can find the source too. You can find the source of that living water. And you know what? Whenever I get lost, whenever I get confused, I go back to the instructions. If I do not know where to turn to, if it doesn't make sense anymore, I go back to the manual. I go look for directions. It's all in here. Everything. God has said everything about life that we need to know. And more. And whenever you're stuck, just go back to Him. Go back to the Word. the very thing that is meant to reveal who God is, we have access to freely in this country. It's so amazing. And this is not letters. This is the words of God. Its purpose is to produce life. That life is different to this world. This truth, this wisdom is different to what we find here. I mean, in Isaiah 55, we read, "For my thoughts," God speaking. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." It's different. "And my ways, nor are your ways my ways." It is different. That's what makes it sometimes so difficult. That's why you need faith. Because in this world, our ways and our thoughts are completely different to God's. And God says that. He makes it very clear. He says, "Listen, yeah, I shine into this, but it's different." So we need faith into what God says. And as a matter of fact, he says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." He says, listen, I know I've preached on this before, but I love it so beautifully. He illustrates it so beautifully. He says, listen here, my ways and my thoughts are not just different to yours. It is so far different. It is so far removed from what you understand. It is as far as the heaven is from the earth. There is a massive difference between God's ways and God's thoughts than man's ways and thoughts. And then listen to this. Listen how it is bridged. How we meet. "For as rain comes down from heaven and snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Do you see this? As the rain, as the earth is from the heavens, and yet rain comes from the heaven to the earth, and it produces life in it. That it gives both seed and bread. We don't have time about that. But as it produces in us, bread speaks about what I need. Seed speaks about abundance. That what I can sow. God says, listen, yeah, the life that I give, my ways and thoughts are so far removed from yours as the heaven is the earth, but the thing that bridges it is like rain that comes down and produces not just life, but abundance. "So shall my..." "So shall my word be." That what bridges my ways and my thoughts from your understanding, your experience to mine, the thing that bridges it is my word. And listen to this, "that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." And the purpose I'm sending my word into darkness is so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And if you receive it, it will produce it. It will produce it. Everything that God has promised has been given, has been spoken for the very purpose to give us life. I mean, even the Gospels that we have now that has been reserved to us through the Spirit of God, it says, listen here, if God had to record everything that Christ has done and said, then the books won't be able to contain it. But the very thing that the Spirit of God still speaks today through the Word of God is what God has chosen for us to know about Him. And it is sufficient. And if you have faith in it, it will produce its purpose, which is life. But you must accept it. So what well do you go to when you're dry and thirsty and empty? Where do you go to? When things do not make sense, when the reality of this life is overbearing and hard to carry, and you run dry and empty, or your understanding fails you, or your experience is where do you go to? Do you go like the woman to an earthly pot, to an earthly well with an earthly pot, try and fill it with something that is temporal, and you have to go back there endlessly over and over again through your own understanding and reason? You know what? That's the whole conversation that she had with Jesus. You know, when Jesus was talking about living water, she was talking to him about how you're going to get it out of the spit. You don't even have a pot or a rope. She's trying to speak to Jesus through our human understanding. What do you mean you're going to give me water? I mean, you don't have nothing, man. And then Jesus came to the point. He says, you know what? Let me tell you about who I am. It changed everything. But where are you going? Jesus says, I love you. For some people, this is so difficult. God says, I love you. I love you. And in some of us, our human experience of a father's love was not good. And God speaks into that pain and he says, I love you. I'm a father that will never leave you. I will never forsake you. As a matter of fact, I've given my life for you. And God says, listen, it doesn't matter what happens in this life. It doesn't matter what. In this life, you all have trouble. This is a fallen, broken world. It's messed up. But I promise you, no matter what happens in this life, I will turn it for your good. I've discovered that. I've chosen to believe that God loves me. When I was at my end, when the world and my experience was so negative that I wanted to take my own life because nothing made sense here anymore. It was just too painful. When God revealed himself, when God revealed his love to me and I chose to believe that, he changed me. And then I started to pursue God and then I discovered God says, listen, yeah, even the stuff that you suffer in this life, you know what? Because I love you, I'm going to turn it for your good. No matter what happens. And something I've discovered in my life, that doesn't matter what happens, you know what? I'm not afraid of this life. I'm not afraid of what can go wrong. You know how many people are awake at night stressing about all the things that can go wrong? And some of you are here. You are worrying about all the stuff that can go wrong. It hasn't even happened yet. And you're worrying about it. And then Jesus says, don't worry about your life. He says, look at me. Look at our careful creation. Look at the created word. Why do you worry? It doesn't matter what happens to you. I love you. And if you love me, you know what? I am going to turn everything for your good. So I don't worry about stuff that goes wrong. Because even if it goes wrong, I know God in due time will turn it for my good. So why am I afraid? What gives me this confidence? The only confidence that I have is in a relationship with him. And because I have a relationship with him and faith in him, you know what? That becomes my experience. And my life is a testimony of that. So no, I don't worry about the politics in this country. Does it bother me? Yes, it bothers me, but do I have sleepless nights of it? No, I don't. Because I know God is for me. Who can be against me? So why am I concerned about these things? Concern is one thing, but to stress and to be afraid, to pack up your stuff and leave to another country because of what might go wrong? No, I serve a God that loves me, and he said, he promised that whatever happens to me, no matter what happens to me, he will turn it for my good. And you know what is the result of that? The experience of that faith in him and the relationship with him, and as I experience him, you know what? I don't stress. I don't fear the future. That's just a simple example, but so can you. I'm not special. You can have the same confidence, you can have the same joy, because the source of life is Christ. And if you don't know how to find him, it's right here. It's right here. You must just believe it. Don't give up. If it doesn't work immediately, then go back to God and say, God, help me understand. Don't try through your own understanding change what God says or change who God is. Try to create an image of who you would like God to be and then try and get scriptures to. No, just go to God. Say, God, I don't understand, but I want to. God, you promised this. I want to know this. And I can guarantee you, as you pursue God, you will have the experience of everything that He promises. If it doesn't work, you can have your money back. No, genuine. If you follow all this, man, you're not even gonna go. You're not even gonna get 10%, and it's gonna start manifesting your life. Because this is not a theory, man. This is not philosophy. This is a living God. Just pursue Him. So I want to conclude with this. Have faith in God. Have faith in His word. And go and seek that fountain of life. If God says He's in you, believe it. Seek Him until you drink it. It becomes an experience in your life, and your life is never going to be the same. And everything in here that doesn't fit your understanding or experience, take it back to God. And say, God, I choose not to believe this. I choose to believe this. I want this to be real here. Teach me, God. I don't understand. I don't experience. Teach me. Humble yourself before Him. And seek Him until you find it. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. So this morning, I want to encourage you. Bring the things that you don't understand to God. Bring His promises to Him. Seek Him until it becomes a reality. And you will have that fountain of life that will produce in season, out of season, abundance. Whenever you run dry, you have the same place you go to, and you will come back satisfied. And life will become abundance of joy, of peace, of love, of goodness, of gentleness, of self-control. All the things that God has promised will fill from out the inside through your life. And you don't have to be afraid anymore. That's the greatest thing about Christianity, is you don't have to be afraid. Not even for death, because it's not the end. You know why? Because God says so. Simple as that. God says so. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that we know that You have come to give us life. That You've come to reveal Yourself so that we may have the fullness of life. God, that Your word is true. There's no truth aside from Your word, God. There's no truth greater than Your word. And even when we do not understand, Lord, like Your disciples, Lord, when You said difficult things and hard to understand, and everybody was offended and left You, God, and Jesus, You turned to Your disciples and said, are You also going to leave me? Peter responded, God, where should we go? Only You have the words of life. Only You have the words of life. And God, this morning, God, I want to pray, Father God, I want to pray for faith to be released in every heart of every person here. That we will not look to this world and our experience and our lack of understanding, but we'll look to You. And even when it's hard to understand, even when it's difficult, God, we will stick to You because You have the words of life. So God, this morning, God, I want to pray for those who are struggling, Father, who are struggling. Maybe you are here this morning and you are thirsty for life and you've been seeking everywhere. You've been seeking everywhere in this world and you've been trying to fill it with stuff. And God is saying, come to Me. And if you've never come to that place where you decide, but I'm going to surrender. I'm going to surrender my life to You, God. I'm going to put away everything and put my faith in You. I want to come to You. This morning, God is giving you an opportunity to surrender your life to the source of life. And He will fill you. He will invade your space. And it will never be the same. And if that is you, and if you have a desire to be filled with this life, I just want you to respond by simply just raising your hand and say, God, here I am. I want to surrender my life to You. I want to surrender my life to You. Is there anybody here? Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? There's another hand. Is there anybody? You want to surrender your life to the source of life, and you've tried everything, you can drop those hands. Thank you. I'm going to ask some of the facilitators to quickly pray with you, just where you are. We can have some of the facilitators go. And then there's some people here. There's some people here. Not with me, right there. Person right there in the orange shirt. And then there's some people, while your eyes are closed, you don't need to watch. There are some people here, you know what? You believe, you are saved, you're a Christian. But you are dry within yourself. You are dry. You are empty. And you just want to find life again. You just want to find that source again. You just want to connect again. You just want God to come and fill you in your circumstances, in the fear, in the worry, in the loss. You are empty. And you don't want a good sermon. You don't want a great teaching. You just want God to come and fill you again. You are hungry for Him. You just say, God, I want more of You. I just want You, God. If that is you, I just want you to respond just where you're seated. Just say, God, here I am. I just want to be full. Just where you are. Just respond to God. See those hands? Just where you are. And I want to give you an opportunity just where you are. Just when, and I want us all to do that. If you're hungry and thirsty, I just want you to sit and you just say, God, right now, Father, I just pray that You will come and fill me. God, come and fill me with Your presence. God, come and fill me with the fullness. God, the revelation of Christ in me. God, I'm hungry and thirsty for You. Not for what the world can give me, but for You. So just where you are, just for a moment, just want you to ask God, come and fill me again. So I'm going to give you some time that you speak with God. In this attitude of prayer, I'm just going to read Isaiah 55. And I want us just to respond in our own hearts. Yo, everyone thirsts. Come to the waters. You have no money. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what it pleases, what I please, and it shall prosper in it the thing for which I sent it. And listen to this, you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the bear shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that you shall not be cut off. Isn't that powerful? So this morning, I want to encourage you. Come to God. When you're thirsty and you're hungry, don't look to this world, don't look to this experience you have in this world. Come to Him. Put your faith in Him. Pursue Him until His Word becomes a reality in your life, and you will know the source of life that will never run dry. So I want us all to stand. We're going to conclude with this one song, and then we're going to dismiss the meeting. There's some coffee and refreshments, and I'm going to be here. If you're hungry, if you're dry, and you want to be filled with God, you want to be filled, just afresh and new, or you're struggling to understand and you just want to yield your understanding to Him, I'm going to be here and I'd love to pray with you. But we're going to conclude with a song, and then we're going to dismiss the meeting and lots of coffee and fellowship. Let's just sing together.
Amen.
And let's put faith in what we sing. Let's put faith in what we sing.
And proclaim our love for you. We proclaim our love for you. And proclaim our love for you.
May God bless you with the revelation of the goodness, the love, the mercy, the life that God has for you. That you may grasp the word with faith, that you may pursue Him in revelation relationship until everything that He has spoken becomes a reality in your life. God, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your life. God, thank you that we can proclaim you are a good God, for you have already proven to us how much you love us, so we can put our faith in that what you say, in that what you teach. And we will follow you to the very end of our days until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. May God bless you.